From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Police have identified a 37-year-old former convict as a person of interest they'd like to question in connection with the murders of four police officers in the Tacoma, Washington area Sunday morning. The Seattle Times reports the man was granted clemency in Arkansas 9 years ago by then-Governor Mike Huckabee, a former GOP presidential candidate. The man was serving time for armed robbery and theft. Sheriff Paul Pastor says the four officers were shot in a coffee shop as they prepared for their shifts.
We have no sense of motive. We can tell you that two of them were just flat executed, sitting, writing reports.
Pastor says before dying, one of the officers fought with the gunman and may have shot and wounded him as he fled. The Senate opens debate Monday on its measure to overhaul the nation's health care system, but Democrats are in trouble. The 60 votes they needed to get this far are no longer locked up. NPR's Carol Van Dam has more.
Some Democrats say they'll withdraw their support if the bill's language on abortion coverage is not more restrictive. Others say they'll no longer be on board if the legislation includes a public option. The number two Republican in the Senate, John Kyle of Arizona, says Democrats should just start over.
There's no way to fix this bill, and that's why every single Republican voted against going to this bill.
Democratic Senator Evan Bayh of Indiana agrees the bill's not perfect, but says Congress must do something about health care now. But he admits he still has several questions.
Starting with cost, we've got to get this deficit down. The CBO says this proposal begins to do that. That's encouraging. But Congress in the past, as you know, has sometimes not lived up to its commitments. So I think we need to have an enforcement mechanism in there.
Both senators appeared on Fox News Sunday. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid wants to finish the bill by Christmas, but that may be an uphill battle. Carol Van Dam, NPR News, Washington.
Swiss voters have overwhelmingly approved a constitutional ban on the building of minarets. The move against the mosque towers put Switzerland on the forefront of a European backlash against a growing Muslim population. Eleanor Beardsley sends this report.
Civic and other religious organizations joined Swiss Muslims in weeks of campaigning against the ban, but it passed anyway. The right-wing Swiss People's Party sponsored the referendum, saying minarets were a sign of an aggressive political Islam. Switzerland's constitution will now be amended to ban the construction of minarets, the tall, slender tower that usually broadcasts the call to prayer. Of Switzerland's 200 mosques, only four actually have minarets. The country's Muslim population hails mostly from the Balkans, and many are non-practicing. Religious or not, Muslims consider the ban an attack on their very identity, says Hafid Wardiri, who is head of a Muslim community organization in Geneva.
All the Muslims now, they feel that whatever they are doing to be accepted, they are rejected.
Hundreds of citizens turned out for a spontaneous demonstration on the square outside the Swiss parliament, holding up signs saying, "That is not my Switzerland." For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Paris.
This is NPR News. Election officials in Honduras say opposition candidate Porfirio Lobo has a wide lead in the country's presidential election. The country's election board says Lobo has nearly 56% of the vote. Sunday's election has put the U.S. at odds with some other Latin American countries. The U.S. is defending the election, but leftist governments in the region say it is invalid because it was backed by leaders of the coup that toppled President Manuel Zelaya over the summer. In Uruguay, a former leftist rebel is now the president-elect, Jose Mujica won Sunday's presidential runoff with more than 50% of the vote. With an escalating media buzz about his alleged ties with the mafia, Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi has railed against television series and books about the Sicilian mob. NPR's Silvia Pagioli has this report.
Berlusconi said he would like to strangle people who write books or make movies about the mafia, which cast Italy in a bad light throughout the world. The remarks came with intensified media reports linking Berlusconi and his longtime friend and aide Marcello Dell'Utri with Sicilian-based mobsters. Dell'Utri has already been convicted of mafia association, and rumors have been circulating for years that Berlusconi began his real estate career thanks to mafia financing. Magistrates in Florence yesterday denied the two men are under investigation for several mafia-linked bombings in the mid-1990s, but similar probes are underway in Sicily. Testimony to be given Friday in a Turin courtroom could be damaging to the prime minister. Gaspare Spatuzza, mafia mobster turned informant, has told magistrates that Berlusconi and Dell'Utri had ties to the mafia in the 1990s. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News.
I'm Giles Snyder in Washington.